the idea came up? Kind of where did it start for you?
Yeah, it started a lot of years ago. I moved to Kalamazoo from East Lansing maybe 15 years ago, I guess, at this point, and went to Western. And when I was going to school, I had this incredible opportunity to work downtown Kalamazoo at a time when it was really only beginning its revitalization process. I mean, a lot of groundwork had been done to that point, but it was really starting to get good. And so I spent a lot of years working at Water Street Coffee Joint downtown when it was the only Water Street Coffee Joint, you know. And so anybody who worked downtown came in for coffee, and I developed just a ton of really great relationships and met incredible people who did all sorts of stuff around downtown. And I think at that point I really began to develop an appreciation for the small business world and the role that small businesses play in a community like Kalamazoo, especially as it's trying to rebuild itself. And I had an incredible mentor. Mark Smutek, the owner of Water Street, was and remains a dear friend of mine. And I learned a lot just through the growth stages of his company and being involved in many different aspects of it. And so I graduated, I worked for him for a couple more years, started working at the hospital. And the hospital's been another incredible opportunity for me to really learn business on a much larger scale and have a lot of employees and be responsible for a lot of dollars. And so I've experienced that the business world from a couple different perspectives, but both very, very intimately and very deeply. And at some point along the line, probably 5 or 6 years ago, I really decided that at some point in my life, I wanted to contribute and be a part of that small business community in a much more meaningful, personal way. And I think I just so happened to like drinking whiskey in the spirit industry. And there's a lot of romance and craftsmanship involved in it. And, you know, it dates back thousands of years, ultimately, in this country, as long as this country's been around. You know, we've been distilling spirits in some fashion or another. And I think I recognized an opportunity, you know, in 2011 when I registered the company, and I probably really started working on it in 2010, it wasn't happening. It wasn't about to happen like it's about to happen in Kalamazoo in the next year or two. And I had time, you know, my job was sort of leveling off at the hospital, and I felt like I could commit the time and energy to it. But between then and now, my job evolved a little bit. I took on more responsibility. It's grown and it's been wonderful, and I've loved every second of it. But this sort of took a back seat for a couple of years, and I really didn't want it to die. I saw myself at this point where I could have easily let it slip, and just disappear. And 10 years down the road, I would have looked back and said, "Man, I really wish I had done that. It was a really cool idea, and I was really passionate about it. But I didn't pour the time and energy into it that I needed to or should have." And I didn't want to find myself in that position 10 years from now. So it's been a wild, like, 6 to 8 months lately.
Yeah. So what's made you say, like, what made you back, I guess, 6 to 8 months from now, where you could have said, you know, I'm going to push this aside, just focus on the Bronson stuff and working in that department? What made you say, I'm going to do this business that I have? Because you said, like, it's something you could have pushed aside. So
Yeah. I think it was that fear of regret, more than anything else. I had put a lot of work into it, and some people who were close friends and colleagues had helped me along the way, put a good amount of work into it from a legal standpoint and business plan development standpoint. And I didn't want to see all that effort wasted. I just feel like I would have been very disappointed in myself. And that was it, really. And even now, it's not something that I intend to supplant my role at the hospital and my day job. I mean, I love that job, and I have every intention of continuing to work with Bronson. It's an incredible institution, and we do some really great work in the food world. So I'm really fortunate to have an opportunity to work with a lot of people in the food industry, which I love. This will be a side project of sorts, and it can almost only be a side project for the couple years that it takes to really get it to a point that it's ready to really market and sell.
So is the plan, are your plan to just to have a tasting room there too? I guess I'm not, because I haven't really seen as much. I've just kind of seen the billboard that you guys put out. So I don't know how much you're able to talk about right now, but kind of what's your plan right now?
So the intention is to utilize that space at 180 North Edwards, and it's in the process of being cleared out. It needs some work, obviously. If you've stopped and peeked through the windows, you know, it needs some TLC. But I think most great buildings that aren't already occupied in this town do need a little bit of TLC, so it's nothing out of the ordinary. And Yeah, there will be a tasting room at some point. The design of the interior has not been fully fleshed out, and there's a lot of potential, I think. You know, we've talked a lot, myself and the business owner and the architects, about the potential for outdoor seating, given that it's, you know, kitty corner from the festival site, and it's in the crosshairs of a lot of great foot traffic in the middle of downtown in a really neat area. So, yeah, tasting room will absolutely be a part of it. It'll be a small tasting room, but we're all the... Everyone who's a part of this sort of spirit revival and revitalization in the community are benefiting from Michigan's pretty favorable craft distilling laws. They're certainly not at the same level that the craft brewing industry is at, but they're probably where that industry was 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago. And only, you know, all signs point to them only becoming more friendly towards the craft distilling industry in the next few years.
Yeah, and I guess the big thing was probably that 2008 law that kind of took the fee every year from 20,000 down to, is it 100 or 150 every year?
I want to say it's 170, but
Exactly. And is that, and it's something that I've tried to kind of ask everybody, was that a driver of you saying I can do this distilling? After seeing the law and going, oh, this is actually not going to be expensive for me from a state perspective. Sort of how big of a deal was that for you?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I would say that it, on some level, was not a big deal at all, because prior to 2008, I wasn't thinking about it, you know? But when you get into it and you recognize that there were at one time significant barriers, and significant barriers still remain in other states in the United States, then yeah, it just adds to the allure and the appeal, and it makes it a little bit easier to take on. So yes and no. I mean, it didn't change my mind about anything, but it didn't not.
Right, well. Right. That's
it kept me interested, I guess. The ease of it kept me intrigued.
If you had seen the $20,000 number, you would have gone, oh, that maybe I'll go in a different direction.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's a whole different ballgame at that point. It's not to say that the difference between $20,000 and $170,000 when you're talking about a project that could very easily eclipse $1 million is that big of a deal. So 20 grand in the grand scheme of things it wouldn't be a showstopper, but it wouldn't help matters, that's for sure.
Yeah. So to go along with that, because when I initially started working on this story, I feel like all people had kind of heard about was, you know, Rupert's starting up their stuff, and then briefly about Nick and Joanna Merrill, their thing just sort of getting licensed. And you guys have sort of been kind of promoting, but sort of in a we're about to come kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And my initial theory was, it was like, oh, it was probably they saw 2008 law go through. They started making it then, and it's just taken a while before these places have started up. What's been interesting for me is that no one has.
Yeah, yeah.
That isn't a part of it at all.
That's funny.
So my theory completely blown, which is totally fine. It's still interesting. But why do you think right now we suddenly are seeing, from, you know, a month ago through the end of this year, probably, if everything works out for you and the other places, mm-hmm. why do you think we are seeing that it's kind of happening right now for that boom?
I think it's serendipitous in a lot of ways. I think it's timely given the culture that exists in Kalamazoo. We have a really strong food culture. We have a strong buy local culture. We obviously have a strong craft brewing culture. And it's in a lot of ways just the next step beyond the craft brewing. You know, Larry Bell and Tim Surprise and those guys have really ushered in a cool industry. I mean, they laid the groundwork for a really neat community to surround the beer and, well, the food and beverage industry. And they put a lot of work in for a lot of years, and at this point there's a lot of us who are reaping the benefit of all that work that they did.
Yeah, I keep going if you want to.
It's all of those factors in combination, you know, the recognition of the craft beer that exists in this town, our appreciation for good, fresh, local food and local all things. You know, I think we are a community that takes great pride in the things that we do, the things that we make, and the people who make them.
Yeah, and seeing that kind of culture around here, did that make you more confident in saying, I can start this in Kalamazoo as opposed to another place? Is Kalamazoo sort of being unique in the fact that we do have that food culture and that beer culture?
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's not to say that you couldn't go to another community and be successful doing something like this, but I think that the chances of success are much greater in a community like Kalamazoo, I would say for sure. And I think what's even more interesting and cooler about the entire concept is that it's not just a community where something like this has great potential. It's a community where multiple somethings like this have great potential. That rising tide lifts all boats sort of mentality, I think, very much applies here. There's room for two very large, though still craft brewers, and a whole host of smaller scale craft brewers. And there's, I have no doubt there's plenty of room for several craft distillers as well, maybe more.
Yeah, and that was a question that I initially had to start with too, was with all of these craft distilleries kind of starting up immediately, can they all kind of see success immediately while they're competing with each other? It sounds like from talking with other people that people kind of aren't, you guys are almost kind of collaborating and talking with each other. It's not much of that at all.
Yeah, I don't think there's, I think there's much more a spirit of camaraderie and cooperation than competition, I would say. And I think if you were to lay out all the business plans, and I'm not familiar with Nick and Joanna, mm-hmm. but I suspect that what you will find are three different target markets, three different niches, and three probably very different business plans. And mm-hmm. there's plenty of room for all of them to exist and succeed, I think.
So to go along with that, what sort of, I guess, spirits are you guys going to be coming up with? Can you say that yet? Are you okay with saying that?
Yeah, I'm comfortable talking about it. I would say that my focus at this point, and it's gone through many incarnations, you know, when you first start dreaming about something like this, it's just like, oh, it's overwhelming. There's so many things you can make. It's, you know, you walk into Bell's and there's 25 beers on their beer menu, and you're like, my God, how do they make all that? It's possible to reach that scale. I have, over the course of the almost 5 years that I've been kicking this around, really narrowed it down to my own personal interest and passion in making a gin, a really fantastic traditional style gin, and a whiskey. So primarily two products. I'm sure there'll be some tinkering on the side with little limited edition batches and experimental kind of stuff, but the aim is really to create a couple of unique and individual products that are marketable, certainly within the Kalamazoo community, but something that can hopefully and potentially grow well beyond the boundaries of Kalamazoo, Michigan, and maybe one day even the U.S.
Yeah, and describe for me a little bit the work that it took kind of developing the gin and the whiskey. Have you so far kind of developed the recipe that you know you want to do with both of those?
Yeah, so a lot of it is sort of the theory of experimentation, because this is unfortunately not something that you are legally allowed to do in your basement or your garage. It's not like craft brewing. And back to earlier on when I mentioned that, you know, the legal side of things is favorable in Michigan, though not as favorable it is to craft brewers, and hopefully someday it will be. But it presents its own challenge in that way, in that you basically have to be fully set up to even start tinkering. So you're left to do, you know, research on your own, experiment with different flavor profiles of products that exist on the market, toy with, like gin is, you know, its flavor is derived from the botanicals that you infuse it with. And so what sort of botanicals make sense and work well together? And I think that's where my experience in the food industry has really helped to sort of narrow in or hone in on the flavor profile that you would want in a beverage like that. It's really interesting to think about it, I guess, in the same way that you would look at a tea, an herbal tea. You steep the star anise or the cardamom or the mint or lemongrass or whatever it might be in the tea, and you see a flavor profile there, right? You're doing something sort of similar when you're making gin, and so the recipe follows a similar path.
You also, I imagine, must have to have a confidence in yourself before doing this, where if you can't be making it that much on your own or sort of experimenting, you sort of probably have to say to yourself, I know this is going to be good and people are going to want it when I start it all up. And knowing that, that must be kind of scary.
Yeah, it's definitely scary. And it definitely presents challenges when you're trying to raise money to get it kicked off. You know, it's a heck of a sales pitch when you have to look at someone and say, well, I'm pretty sure I can do this. and I am certain that I can do it. I know it's, there's a lot of science involved in it. And I and my family have some pretty substantial science background, and I enjoy the art of science and that sort of precision craftsmanship that that is derived from the scientific side of things and the scientific process. And when I say it's just one step beyond making beer, I mean it very much is just the next step in the process after making beer. You basically make beer and then you cook off the alcohol. That's an incredibly oversimplified example, yeah. but it's interesting to think about making this kind of commitment to something that really there's limited experience with. I mean, the alternative is obviously to try to hire someone or pound the pavement and look for a distiller who has years and years of experience. In the U.S., up until the last probably 15 years at the most, I would say there weren't craft distillers, you know, so the gene pool of talent and experience out there is not that deep or broad. So while that possibility exists, in a lot of ways, everyone who's doing this right now is learning at the same pace and probably not too far removed from the person who is a few months or a few years ahead of them. And it's an incredibly friendly, collegial industry. You know, there's a lot of information sharing. There's a lot of people who want to see other people succeed and are not unwilling to share their knowledge and their experience and their wisdom. There are also a few really fantastic learning opportunities out there. MSU has a craft distilling program that is, so I'm told, pretty cool. There are a few distillers around the country who offer similar programs that are condensed, you know, over the weekend or a long weekend. You can go in and spend time with them in their space, with their equipment, their ingredients, and working through the process alongside them. So it's an industry that is welcomes new additions with open arms, which makes it really exciting.
Yeah, and that was one thing that I imagine the collaboration part is probably nice, where because there is probably this really small community of people who experiment with spirits around here right now. You probably are going with each other and being like, oh, let me try that honey whiskey. Oh, that's really good. Or let me try that gin. That's really good.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing to think you're all kind of like a little generation, the first generation all coming up together. So
or the first new generation. You know, I think if you've probably looked back at the history, at one point in time, Kalamazoo did have a rich distilling industry or a spirit industry. So it's fun 150 years later to see that make a resurgence.